It's the morning show on K101. Joining us now from, I believe, Washington is Congressman Frank Lucas. Good morning, Congressman.
Hello, Sean. Good to be with you as always.
And you are in Washington yet still, or are you on New
No, we're in the nation's capital this morning. We've got some more appropriation bills to work on, and then we break to come home for the 4th of July.
Okay. So, now, I know one of the things that's been a focus this year of Congress is the Farm Bill. Is that completely done and in the bag now, or is there still some things to finish up on it?
Oh, Sean, we've still got a ways to go. The Farm Bill, which is the every 5 year, and in this case, it's the sixth year, a document that covers everything from how much food and fiber we raise to how it's available for folks to consume. The bill that is crop insurance and price protection, conservation, rural development, ag research, farm credit, all of those things. It has cleared the House Agriculture Committee, and we're waiting now for floor time to bring it to the floor to be considered subject to markups. The Senate, both Republicans and Democrats, have put out some outlines, but they've not actually filed a bill yet. I suspect we need to pass the bill across the floor of the House, U.S. House, in order to get the Senate off high center. This is one of those bills, Sean, that's done under regular order in committee with markups and open debate, across the floor with markups and open debate, and then there's always differences between what we in the House or we in the Senate do, and it ultimately has to be worked out in a conference committee between the two. The most optimistic part I can offer you is if we can get our work done, this is an election year, I suspect the president will sign the Farm Bill, because I've never known a president running for office for re-election who didn't and wasn't enthusiastic about signing a Farm Bill. We just got to get it to his desk.
Is there any deadline to get the Farm Bill done?
Actually, on the first day of October, the old Farm Bill begins to wind down. It doesn't expire automatically that day, but it begins to wind down. We did a one-year extension when it couldn't get past last year. But what that means is not everything turns off on October 1 of 2024, but most of the programs depend on the crop year. You put your wheat crop for 2025 in the ground this fall, the program will still cover it until you harvest next spring. The cotton crop will be covered until this cotton crop is harvested in, you know, December, January of 24-25. So it needs to be done. It has to be done. We have to have the safety net to make sure we can raise the things that we need, but it's a tough process because there's always the arguments amongst some of my friends on the right who don't want to spend any money on the nutrition programs and my friends on the left who don't want to spend any money on people who live out in the countryside. And how you balance that out's the challenge.
Now, the border, is that part of the border issues that we're having? I know there's, you said, some appropriation bills. Is that encompassed in any of these appropriation bills?
Absolutely, Sean. One of the bills that we're taking up this week and hopefully pass before we go home today is the Homeland Security Appropriations Act of 2025. Now, this is the language that was passed out of the House Appropriations Committee, now coming to the floor. And under Homeland Security, border security falls in that category. And I'd highlight one of the things that was done in the Appropriations Committee in the House was to provide $600 million to go back to building a southern border wall. You remember President Trump was very aggressive, and we appropriated the money, and they were building wall across the southern border. And when President Biden came into office, he immediately suspended construction. We're working on the assumption that we might just have a new president next spring, and we want to provide the money to go back to building the wall, because if you can't secure the border, how can you address all of the other immigration issues out there? First, you got to secure the border. So the money's in there for that. We also, in the bill that's being considered this week, make sure that the money's available for the 22,000 Border Patrol agents who work both the northern and southern borders. And I know that seems like a lot of people, but you're talking about thousands of miles of border to secure. You're talking about all manner of responsibilities. The previous administration, or this administration, has not always been that excited, but we fund 22,000 Border Patrol agents so we can actually man the border.
Now, are these appropriations bills, are these all for the next fiscal year for 20, does that start on Monday, the new, in January, on July 1st, I mean?
Actually, the government bookkeeping year runs from October, first day of October to last day of September. So these are funding bills that will take effect on October 1 of 2024. They call it FY25 because it funds over into fiscal year 2025. Now, we're going to, I think, pass all 12 out of the House because there's 12 different appropriation bills. The Senate will have to pass something, and then we'll go to conference and work out our differences. The bills that are leaving the House right now are basically Republican bills, very strong in defense, very strong on border security, very strong on the issues that determine the quality of life. There's a whole bunch of Democrats who aren't voting for any of them, but we don't control the Senate. The Senate majority are Democrats, so we'll see how all that works out at the end of the year.
Now, and kind of looking now, I know this is always a risky thing to do when it comes to the government and Congress, but looking ahead, by passing these appropriation bills, is this going to help prevent a government shutdown possibility that we always seem to come around with around Christmas time?
I think that's the real answer. Now, we'll do our work. If the Senate can do their work, then we have to have conference committees to work it out. And can we get that done by October 1? It remains to be seen. If it can't be done, what you'll see is something called a CR, a continuing resolution. And what that basically means is that the body couldn't come to an agreement, and we're going to wait to see what the voters decide in November, who will be the next president, who will be the majority in the House, who will be the majority in the Senate, and they'll make the big decisions if we can't agree in advance of that. Don't be surprised this time, John, if there's a CR. It doesn't push things over into January or February. Get us past the holiday season. Get the new administration in position, and then we sort those things out. Matter of fact, my very strongest conservative colleagues on the Republican side, the Freedom Caucus, advocate that we not pass any appropriation bills. We just do a CR till next February or March until the new government and the new Congress come in. I personally think we need to do our work now, but there are some who advocate we just not do anything until the voters decide where we go.
Speaking of voting and elections, of course, we just completed the primary elections in Oklahoma, and you, of course, were reelected as the Republican nominee, no Democrat opponent this year. So basically, de facto, you have been reelected to the Congress. So congratulations on that.
Absolutely, Sean. And I appreciate my neighbors and my constituents, because let's be honest, when you're an incumbent, it becomes a referendum on you. And whether it's my work on farm bills or science-related stuff or financial services issues, I've tried really hard to be a reflection of my folks. And 73% of my fellow Republicans chose to vote for me on primary day. That was a very strong statement, I think. And the fact that the other side didn't put up a general election opponent. So let's go to work for the next now 2.5 years.
What did you think overall with the primary elections in Oklahoma? How do you feel about them, especially, you know, your fellow congressman from Oklahoma? You know, there was what people thought might have been a strong challenge to Tom Cole. Overall, how do you think everything went for Oklahoma?
I would say it was a pretty strong statement about those of us who are representing the five districts now. Tom Cole's race was an example of where we had an individual who made their money in Illinois, sold their company, moved to Texas, probably because Texas doesn't have a state income tax, as Oklahoma has and as Illinois has, and then someone who decided to come across the river at the last possible minute and run for office. The old Southern phrase would be carpetbagger, but when given the choice between an experienced hand with a track record or somebody who just wanted to be a member of Congress, they chose to go with the steady hand. I think that's a pretty solid statement about the voters in the 4th District, just as my neighbors in the 3rd District made a pretty solid statement about me. Now we just need to go to work.
Now, with the new Congress coming up, and obviously your seat secure for the new Congress for next year, what are your plans for next year as far as I know? Are you going to remain on that science technology committee? What other things are going to be doing?
It kind of depends on whether we're in the majority or the minority. If we're in the majority, because the committees reflect the overall ratio between the two parties, if we're in the majority, then I would expect to stay on all three committees. I'm not leaving the Ag Committee. I'm in a race to be chairman of the Financial Services Committee. That's my third committee. I've chaired Ag and timed out under our rules. I've chaired Science and will time out at the end of this year under our rules. I still have the option of being chairman of Financial Services, not the committee with jurisdiction over banks and the stock markets, insurance companies, the Federal Reserve System, Treasury, anything that affects the cost of and the availability of credit falls under that jurisdiction. If we're in the minority, then I would hope to be the ranking member, and we'll see if I'm able to hold all three of my committee assignments if we're in the minority. But right now, President Trump is running a strong campaign, and I believe there's a real likelihood that not only will we maintain a Republican majority in the House, we'll actually have a Republican majority in the Senate starting in January.
All right, Congressman Frank Lucas joining us today. Thanks. You appreciate you taking the time to speak with us. Was there anything else we need to touch on?
As always, Sean, it's summertime. It needs to rain, and let's hope for rain. Let's continue to work hard both at home here in the nation's capital. Look forward to our next visit, Sean.
All right. Thank you very much. Congressman Frank Lucas joining us here on K101.